section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I'm your host, Andrew Hughes, and I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron Hughes. All right, we need to get in some breaking news right away. This happened on last Friday. There are some big releases. First off, my boy, Sugar Shane, the Hurricane, but don't call me Gregory, got released. Mariah got released. Charlie Haas got released, and so did Paul Burchill. I can never get his name right for some reason. What, the gate?
He's a worthless wrestler anyway. So, I mean, Charlie Haas getting released. I mean, they didn't have a program for him in place, and they really haven't had anything since the World's Greatest Tag Team, which is unfortunate. But you know, Hurricane Helms, he got released because, of course, the whole incident involving public intoxication and giving Jericho a black eye. Well, so it's kind of unfortunate because Jericho was also with him. They were both publicly intoxicated.
Matt Hardy.
And Matt Hardy was there too.
Yeah.
Jericho gets the world heavyweight title, and Hurricane Helms gets a pink slip.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's crappy, but whatever.
Is TNA in the future for him?
I think he'll go to TNA just because, well, you know, just to do it. But he's also said many times that he set himself up nice where, you know, he needs wrestling, but he can do other things with his time, which, you know, is great. I just feel bad that, you know, he got released. I mean, the Vertebraker, one of the best finishing moves of all time. But nope. Had to get released, which is crap. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, though, if he ends up going to TNA and something happens to Matt Hardy, Matt Hardy's going to be there in a heartbeat. And then it's going to be Matt, Hurricane, Jeff, Shannon Moore, you know, I mean, they're all going to be there. They're going to have their own little clique there. So.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing is, that the nice part about them getting their own clique, though, I think they deserve it. Because I think because they're, I mean, usually if you're really close friends with someone, you can go ahead and you perform better in the ring. And I think with them feeding off each other, I think they can actually make their own stable realistically. And I think they could, you know, be a major player in TNA, you know, maybe even go for the big belt. You never know.
They could. They could. Now, moving on to Raw, something that I thought was interesting at the very start of the show, Triple H comes out, interrupts HBK's big long speech about The Undertaker, and he goes into this diatribe of how he has beat everyone who is anything in the business. Everyone who's anything. And it got me to think, and there were a huge list of wrestlers that he has not beat. Huge list of wrestlers.
Really?
And, oh, yeah. And the first one, though, that came to mind immediately was Sting. Immediately. Because Sting is famous for not having ever wrestled in a WWE or WWF ring, ever. He stayed NWA, you know, he went to WCW, back to NWA, you know, TNA. So that's something that, you know, what do you think? I mean, Triple H saying that he's beat anybody who's anything in the business. You know, I mean, is that his ego? Is that his character? What do you think?
I think it's more of an ego thing because he's like, well, Sting never wrestled in the WWE. I mean, look what they did with on NXT last week with Daniel Bryan. So, I mean, they basically say that if you're not in the WWE, you're not a real wrestler. I mean, you are not a real wrestler. That's what they're basically saying. So, I mean, there's people in Japan that are huge and you could pay Triple H a paper bag and he couldn't wrestle himself out of there opposed to what these guys can do. Unlike Hogan, who you give a paper bag to and he still can't get out of it, but whatever. That's a different story. Anyways, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that they're just saying that, and that's not the truth because they think that people who are wrestling fans, they only watch the one product. And there's lots of products out there right now. So, I mean, it's just his ego thing. I mean, it's almost as bad as Batista coming out as a gay biker, which I don't understand. And I'm trying to figure this out. Did he get new tattoos over the tattoos he already had?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I wonder if anybody else thought this, because the moment he came out, I was just thinking, is he dressed like a gay biker? I mean, he had on really, like, feminine sunglasses.
Yeah.
He looked like he was in The Village People. I mean,
that's what I was thinking.
He did,
yeah.
You know? He looked like he was in The Village People. So, I don't know. I mean, do you think that's going to be his new gimmick?
Well, it's probably going to be his gay gimmick, yeah. He's going to probably come out there with, oh gosh, who were the gay guys for the longest time? Chuck Palumbo and...
Chuck and Suck. It was Billy and Chuck.
Yeah, Billy and Chuck. So I think it's going to be Batista and... I don't know, what's Primo doing? Primo's not doing anything, so they'll probably put Primo in with him, too.
Oh, yeah, might as well.
And
might as well.
The other thing about Raw, I don't like the Bret Hart-Vince thing, because I think that's in the past. If they were going to do that, they need to do it right when WCW folded. That's what I think they should have done. But they didn't. So this feud, it really does nothing for me. Because you already know the outcome. Bret Hart already signed a 3-month deal. Everyone knows that. The Smarks do, I should say. And also, realistically, there's only one way this feud can end. With Bret Hart putting him in the sharpshooter, and that's it.
And him tapping out.
And him tapping out. And then Bret not letting go.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing, too. It's one of the worst feuds that they've done. It's like when Hogan and McMahon, and they're like, it's 20 years in the making. And it's like, not really. You know, like, I never cared about that. This I care about more than Hogan and Vince. But 12 years? I mean, people move on. You know, people really do. It's like the people who, you know, who are huge football fans, and they still look back at, like, the Tuck rule. You know, it's like, look, you know, get over it. You know, that happened years and years ago. You know, and that only happened, like, what, 6 years ago, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
And it's like, get over it. Who cares, you know? Same thing. It's like, look, you know, obviously, you know, Vince screwed Bret. We know that, you know? Mm-hmm. Move on. Although, at the same time, I think a lot of Smarks will actually be happy to see Vince in a sharpshooter.
Yeah, it'll make me laugh. I'll be excited. Once he puts him in the sharpshooter, you know, he has to do the five, you know, moves first. You know, the elbow off top rope.
Yeah.
What else did he do? Is the elbow off top rope, the side suplex.
He did the Russian leg sweep also.
That's
if
right.
I'm correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The five moves of doom, as they all like to call it. But yeah, I mean, that's really doing nothing for me. I mean, also this whole thing on Raw when they did the DX Show Miz thing. That does nothing for me still. I mean, all it did was you got The Miz coming out and making him more of a heel, which is fine, but Big Show's kind of there, you know. And I don't think he's in the best of health anymore. I think he's going to call it pretty soon.
Yeah, you know what? While watching that match, I must say, he looked tired. I mean, he got a couple moves done to him, and to have him get back up, I mean, it was a chore. It really was. And It makes you wonder if, you know, I mean, being that tall, being that big of a guy, I mean, his knees got to be given out on him. I mean, they do, plain and simple.
Well, yeah, so. I mean, yeah, because he's huge, but, like, when he first came into wrestling, he was maybe 300 pounds, and now he's, you know,
he was
pushing, you know, he's over 400 big time. And I know that, you know, he's big and he's muscular, but, you know, I'm wondering, yeah, I think you're right. You know, is he hurt his body so much where he just will not be able to wrestle pretty soon or what? I mean... You never know.
I don't know. But, you know, speaking of Show Miz, Miz and MVP had a feud going on Raw.
Yeah.
And they pretty much ended that now, like just kind of abruptly almost. Because realistically, I mean, MVP didn't do anything. I mean, he wasn't really there. Him and Miz didn't have any real banter back and forth. So what do you think of them just abruptly ending feuds or – having a feud take a week off, you know? I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, we're talking about the WWE, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How many times have they done that? I mean, if we went through, there's probably a laundry list of crap that they went through that they're like, here's the feud. Oh, we're going to end it right now. We're going to end it on Velocity, you know, the show that no one watched. Oh, gosh. I can't tell you how many times Jamie Noble had a feud going that started on SmackDown and then ended on Velocity. But ironically, they taped Velocity first. And then SmackDown. That's stupid. But that's WWE
you just
for you.
Use
you know.
A Velocity reference.
I know. See, that's aging me right there. Use a Velocity.
That, I mean, that,
Yeah.
At the time, you know, I think that Kane is still mad at Triple H for sleeping with his dead girlfriend.
Oh gosh, what was the name of that, by the way? That, oh my gosh. Katie or gosh, dude, I'm trying to remember the name now. What was the name?
You remember that though, right?
I do remember that, dude. Yeah. That's hilarious.
You know, we're going to have to do a segment sometime on bad gimmicks or bad feuds or something along those lines, because that one, I'm sorry, number one that I can think of off the top of my head. So,
yeah.
But anyway, though, moving on. Sheamus, at the end of Showmiz versus DX, Sheamus comes out, you know.
Blinds us all, of course. We're like, oh my gosh. The lights hit him incorrectly, so they had to adjust the lighting for him. And then, yeah. Honestly, Sheamus, don't like him, period. He has a look, but, like, this sounds really bad, but you can't be that white. You have to tan. And if his body can't handle it, that's fine. But, like, you have to have a look, because if you see him on the street, you're just like, hey, look, it's a big guy. But if you see someone, another wrestler, like, let's say you see Triple H on the street, you can tell that he's a wrestler because he has that look. I don't think Sheamus has the exact look that you need when you're, you know, like, you're main eventing. There's some people who can get away with it. He cannot. That's the problem, because you have to show that you're built. And he is built, but if they put a spray tan on him just for one show, you'd be amazed on how much more ripped. And I think that I could accept him a little bit. But right now, I just cannot do that. I cannot.
You know, and that's something that I thought about last week in particular, is that, you know, when Brock Lesnar, you know, hit the scene, you knew immediately he was going to be a world heavyweight champion probably within a year.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
He had a look to him, and, I mean, he was built. Goldberg, same way, you knew he was going to be a champion, and they didn't even rush with Goldberg. Goldberg, I thought that they did really well, but
yeah, Goldberg,
back
took
in
forever.
WCW. Yeah, I mean, that, it was 2 years, if I'm correct, or even close to three, but I don't know, it was probably about two. But anyway, Sheamus, though, he comes in and wins a title in a few months, and he has a great body. I mean, he really does, and I'm saying that in a very non-gay way. but he has, like, he's kind of thin, but he's built, you know? So it's kind of a weird look to him, but I definitely agree with you, and it's almost like they use his paleness as a gimmick for people to make fun of him, because, you know, Christian comes on and, you know, comments on how pale he looks, you know, and everyone else does too. Well, the thing is, that's going to get old, you know.
Yeah, it gets old really fast.
Cheer.
Really,
yeah,
fast.
Exactly. So, you know what? I don't know. I mean, Sheamus, I really don't care about him and Triple H feuding, you know. I mean, it just does nothing for me. That is not a moneymaker. Cena Batista is a moneymaker. Undertaker HBK is a huge moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
This one is not.
I know. And so, see, that's why I have to give Raw this week a C.
You give it a C?
A C.
See, I would probably go with a C also. You know, I mean, thinking back on what was lasting for me, not much. I mean, the Bret Hart Vince thing, even though I said earlier too little, too late, it's still, like, that was one of the highlights for me, I thought. So
yeah, I do agree with that, because since, you know, I mean, crap, I've been watching wrestling forever, and I stopped watching, and then I started watching WCW again, so that was something that I remember, you know, 12, 13 years ago, that I would love to see still, but it's, you know, I think with Brett, if Brett would have never had the accident, it would have been a different story. Then I would have loved to see it, but now, as he put it, I need the money.
and you're referring, of course, to the Goldberg accident, like where he
Bret Hart had, remember how he had the motorcycle accident, and that's
that's
what I was referring to. I'm sorry. Anyways, let's go on to SmackDown. You wanted to talk about Edge's spear. Now, you know, there's been a lot of people who had spears. Rhino, Goldberg, Batista, and someone else I'm forgetting. Oh yeah, Edge again. But of all the spears, the only one that I really was like, oh, is Goldberg's. And
Rhino, the gore, you know. I mean, I thought the gore, I mean, then again, you also had to have a good wrestler taking the gore, because they would flip themselves over. So you had to have somebody who could take it, you know?
Yeah.
Goldberg's spear, I mean, he had a very unique spear, and it was really cool. But, you know, Edge on the last SmackDown, you know, not this week's, but last week's, he just kept saying spear, 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 spear. It's like, that does nothing for me. It does nothing. That doesn't build your guys' feud. And I think that Edge Jericho can be an amazing feud, and it should go on for the next 4 months. It really should, and I would be all for that because both of them are very good wrestlers, and they complement each other's styles. You know, mm-hmm. They really do. So I'm all for that. But a spear to end the match, I mean, that's what they're going to do, and that's kind of lame.
That is really lame. And actually, the funny thing is, I hope he goes for a spear, Codebreaker. That's all I'm going to say.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, and it could be done. Timing, you know, if they work on it, if that's what the ending is going to be, they can get that down perfectly because Jericho is a worker. So I mean, and so is Edge, and I don't think they still have that ego part, but I think it's more now about let's put on the best show we can because technically we're going to have competition at some point. But one thing, speaking of competition, I can't believe that Shelton Benjamin is winning. What the heck is going on with that? Shelton Benjamin should not win. At least that's what the WWE thinks. I think he should be a world champion, but that's a different story. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, he last week he beat CM Punk, a former world heavyweight champion. This week he beats Drew McIntyre, the Intercontinental champion. And it's just kind of strange. It's almost like they're trying to legitimize him. And it's something that I've been saying for years. You should have done that a long time ago. He's an amazing athlete. He puts on he does amazing moves, and if you give him, you know, the proper people to work with, he can be a great performer. He actually could on SmackDown, he could be a main event champion.
That goes without saying, because you know, he has the look, he can perform in the ring, but you know, as we always say, you have to dumb down your style in the WWE. But I'm really excited about him winning, and I'm actually not excited about Kane being in the Money in the Bank match again, which doesn't make sense. And now the whole feud that they've been having with Drew McIntyre that was building up has now stopped.
It's same thing with MVP and Miz. You know, I mean, they had this feud going, and last week Kane beat Drew McIntyre to make it into the Money in the Bank ladder match. So are you telling me that their feud, which last week I said, you know what's gonna, you know, I said that they're gonna have a match at WrestleMania. That's what I thought. I figured Kane would somehow not be in the Money in the Bank, or Drew would make it in, you know, something like that. But now they're just ending it. You know, Drew is doing nothing. He's a worthless Intercontinental Champion. So why do that? There's no point.
I know. I mean, it's just another reason why they need to have someone who's smarter writing this stuff, and that's what's getting me. But you know, whatever. Let them do whatever they. Even though I think it's completely retards. Anyways, Morrison, R-Truth are now facing a Show Miz at WrestleMania. That does nothing at all for me because first of all, the United States belt is not getting defended.
Yeah,
that doesn't get me because when you have a pay per view like WrestleMania, every title should be on the line. Period. That's it.
I agree. Oh yeah,
and they're not doing it. So basically, it's going to be Show Miz winning at WrestleMania over R-Truth and John Morrison because there's no point of having John Morrison and R-Truth team up. I don't see a point to that. Besides, John Morrison is a rock legend and R-Truth is the rap legend. Whatever. Anyways,
Kind of to talk about that a little bit more, wouldn't you agree that John Morrison and R-Truth would be better fit for the Money in the Bank ladder match?
Oh, John Morrison would take a huge bump. Huge bump.
So would R-Truth. I mean, Ron the Truth Killings he's a very good performer. He really is. And he would take a huge bump because he's like, oh, it'll get me up there? Sure, I'll take a bump.
Yeah, need you to do a scaffold match by yourself and just jump off. Okay. You
know, he would do it.
Yeah, he would do it. That's the thing. But and you know, one thing that I didn't like about SmackDown this week, they had, you know, Edge beats the Big Show, and then Jericho beat an NXT rookie.
An NXT rookie last week. Yeah, he beat Daniel Bryanson, as I will lovingly refer him to.
Yeah.
You know, about a month ago now, Jericho lost to R-Truth. He lost to him twice, so it's like Jericho is a They've made him into a horrible champion, whereas Edge, he beat The Miz last week. He beat Big Show, so now he's beat the World Tag Team Champions.
Right.
And Jericho defeated an NXT rookie. Where's the legitimacy there?
I know.
I mean, honestly.
They need to have a big board, basically, that shows who's facing who and why you shouldn't have this person beat this person and stuff like that. I mean, they need to have that. Of course, Stephanie McMahon's an idiot, but that's beside the point. But, you know, like, overall the show, you know, I'm still going to have to give it a C. I don't have anything else besides a C on that one.
See, I got to give it a B only because Shelton Benjamin got another win.
I'll give it a C+ then because of that. Only because of that. But let's
go. Yeah, I was going to say, let's talk about NXT. The opening match of NXT, it was over 30 seconds. And if you remember last week, I don't know if anybody watched the show or not, the opening match lasted about 30 seconds. It literally did. It was longer for the people to get out to the ring than the actual match itself. So longer matches, I mean, is that something that you want to see in NXT? I mean, you may not get to see all the performers out there, but you're going to have better matches. What do you think?
Dude, I'm just not digging NXT anymore. I truthfully think that they're doing it 100% wrong, because I think the wrestlers should all wrestle, and they're not. That's the thing, and they're bringing the... I mean, I know that when you first bring in the newbies and they have their quote-unquote mentors, in order to get people to watch it, you got to bring the superstars in, but they should just take a back seat to everything. Like, they should just be there as a face and then go back. Shouldn't talk every week like they have been, but I don't know. Just NXT anymore is just not... I'm not digging it as much as I used to.
However, you know, on Twitter, we had a Mazin Bobby Kid reply to us, because we asked our fans what they thought about NXT. And he replied that he enjoyed NXT because it brings new talent that we haven't seen before. And it, as he said, it don't get old by seeing the same matches all over again. Which, you know, I mean, that's something to think about. You know, we're not seeing, you know, Kane versus Undertaker for the umpteenth time. You know, we're not seeing that.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with that.
Daniel Bryanson is, you know, he's fresh. He's new to the WWE.
To the WWE universe, he is new.
Yeah.
He's old to me.
And you know what's great is we get to see him be WWE's new whipping boy. You know, I joked last week about how they basically crap all over Shelton Benjamin, and now he's getting wins. But Daniel Bryanson is getting losses, you know, like nonstop. And it's, you know, what's the point? You know, I mean, are they planning on doing something with him? What do you think?
I think he's going to be something big because, I mean, watching Bryan Daniels, in, like, Ring of Honor, I mean, he was the champion. I mean, he was an awesome champion. I can't tell you how many times that just watching his matches, I was just like, whoa. Like, just like Neil, I was like, whoa. Because it was amazing just watching him perform in the ring. I was in shock about how good he was. I mean, I don't know. He is a superstar. I don't think really Triple H or HBK, I mean, they're superstars, but I think that they're so old that you need to bring the new style of wrestling in. Then you'll be ahead of other places. But you have to dumb down your style to be in the WWE. And yes, you can make more money, but you work more too because of it. But, you know.
Sure. Now, something I wanted to ask you about NXT that I noticed this week in particular is that they're showing promos for Raw and SmackDown. And they were pretty adamant. I mean, instead of showcasing these new wrestlers, these new styles, you know, this whole mentoring program, they kept showing, you know, HBK and Undertaker. They kept showing, you know, Edge and Jericho or Batista and Cena or Bret Hart and Vince McMahon. You know, something that I was thinking about, and I don't know what you think, but at this point in time, if you're watching NXT, you have
to. Right, yeah, you have to be. You have to be. You have to be watching. I completely agree, dude. But they're just ridiculous. But overall, I got to give a show a B. A solid B.
You see, now, last week I said on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 1, no place to go but up. And I think they did better, you know. So I would, you know, if you know, grade-wise it was an F last week, I'd give it a D- this week. You know, it got better. It got better, but that's not saying much. So.
I know. I completely agree. Yeah. But
yeah.
Anyways, let's take time to thank one of our sponsors for the show, GoDaddy. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See if I have for details. All right, let's talk about TNA for a second. Something just broke, actually, this morning. Today, we're on a Thursday, of course. This was leaked by Hogan being an idiot. RVD, Rob Van Dam, has signed with the company.
Yeah, he was on a radio show, and he said, oh, we got some huge surprise coming. And then he points at himself three times, the RVD pose. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, you're trying to say we have a huge surprise for when we go head-to-head against Raw. We have a huge surprise. And it's, you leak that out? What's the point? I mean, honestly. But, you know, having RVD come to TNA made me think, do you think Sabu could come to TNA? I mean, he still probably has a year or two left in him, you know?
Sorry about that. We had a little bit of a production issue. We're going to continue going. I actually went to TNA's website because I couldn't remember if it's this week or next week that they're going on Monday nights, but it's actually this week. I forgot about that. I thought it was next week. So you guys probably heard a little bit of TNA. I'm sorry. And that was loud. Let me tell you, if you guys go to TNAwrestling.com right now, make sure you turn down the speakers a little bit. That's all I can say about that right now. Anyways, but yeah, I think Sabu coming in wouldn't surprise me now because, well, the dude's dead, basically, if all the crap he's done.
Well, when I said he had a year or two left in him, I meant until he dies.
Oh, okay, all right.
So, you know, I might as well go to TNA.
That's true.
But do you think that they're WWE rejects, or do you think it's like, you know, they're new stars putting new blood into the company? What do you think?
They're actually WWE rejects, in all seriousness, but I think it's more of a downsizing thing. Because, like, with Shane Helms, I don't think they wanted to release him, but I think that they're like, okay, we can save X amount of dollars by having him gone. But usually when there's something like this that's public about it and they put it on TMZ, I mean, TMZ covered him getting released. That tells you something. So he's going to go to TNA, and if he does something stupid again, it's going to be on TMZ again, and they're going to get free publicity, unlike the WWE, who won't get that publicity. They'll hear about TNA, and TNA's now going to Monday nights as of the 8th of March, this Monday. I mean, that's helping TNA out, especially if he's like, hey, I'm going to be there for such and such, or, you know, my boy Shannon Moore is going to be there, you know, crap like that. But I,
you know, that's one thing that I actually really dislike is that WWE has the 90-day no-complete clause. And that actually kind of pisses me off in a way because I understand why they do it completely. They don't want to have the same thing happen with that happened in WCW where Rick Rude was on Monday Night Night.
Yes, yeah, he was on both shows at the same time. That kills me.
You change the channel, you know, you can see me on WWF Raw, you know, at the time. And it's one of those things where they don't want to have that happen. And I understand. I completely understand why they don't want to do that. But, you know, in a way, they kind of – it's almost like a monopoly, you know, and mm-hmm. I don't want to see that. Having that competition makes it so much better. So them moving to Monday nights, I'm very, very happy to see that. I really am.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to be very excited to see the first, you know, shows because, you know, Raw versus Impact – kind of cool.
Yeah, so. I'm looking forward to it. One thing you want to talk about was pay-per-views, how many are needed per year. And you put up a stat that I didn't know about, but you said in 2005 they had 14. In 2006 there were 16. And then in 07 through 09, 14. And then this year there's going to be 13 pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
16 pay-per-views? I mean, how many people actually paid for all the pay-per-views? I mean, I remember when we were getting all the WCW pay-per-views, we were paying the $30 every month. I mean, just think, I mean, for a while there, they were doing Raw pay-per-views and SmackDown pay-per-views in the same month.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, too. I mean, it really makes you wonder because wrestling fans, no, I'm not saying wrestling fans are poor by any means, but the thing is, I mean, how much is a pay-per-view? It's $49.99, right?
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, if you want the HD version, which is, you know, if you have a high-definition TV, you're going to pay for it. DirecTV, it's $10 more. I think
it's $60 per pay-per-view?
Yeah. In all seriousness, it costs you $10. Whatever the pay-per-view is, it's $10 more to get the pay-per-view.
Really?
For the HD. And the thing is that, you know, to me, that's kind of crap. Anyways, the you know, what else did you want to talk about? The pay-per-views or something else that I'm missing?
Oh, yeah. A link I sent you about the new pay-per-views that are coming up. You know, that, like I said, there's only 13 this year, which is nice. But they have themed pay-per-views, new themed pay-per-views. And in particular, the next one that we're going to see in April is Extreme Rules, where every match will be, quote-unquote, extreme. And then in June, they're doing a pay-per-view entitled Fatal 4-Way. So are they going to have all Fatal 4-Way matches? I mean, what's the point in that?
Well, the thing is, if you're smart, you still do 8 matches for the pay-per-view. And then you have 32 wrestlers who, you know, some guys probably who wouldn't be in the pay-per-view, hence WrestleMania, another one. You have those matches, but, you know, that's what it was. Now they're probably going to only have, like, what, 5 advertised matches. And you know those 5 advertised matches are going to be crap, and they may have another one where someone comes out and does an impromptu match. But Fatal 4-Way, theme pay-per-views are okay. I mean, but I think they're taking it way too... They're taking it to the extreme. I mean, Backlash had its point. Backlash, it was the backlash of what happened with WrestleMania.
Exactly. I totally agree with you there. Now, the other one is they have a Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
And something
that you and I talked about, you thought that it would be, oh, well, they're going to have a Money in the Bank ladder match there. And I thought that it's actually going to be the pay-per-view where you have to cash in. So they'll set it up where you have to use your Money in the Bank win at that pay-per-view. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a pay-per-view that is all about Money in the Bank. As in, like, I think what's going to happen is they're going to have matches before, and whoever qualifies for the Money in the Bank that night, they get into the main match for that night, and then I think they have a chance to cash the Money in the Bank in. But I'm wondering if they're also going to do it for each title, for the Raw title or the SmackDown title. I'm wondering if that's what it's going to be. If that makes sense?
They could.
But I think it's ridiculous. I mean, especially they take that from WrestleMania, because every year WrestleMania, it seems that that's the first match, and I'm like, oh, sweet, the best match of the night. And then afterwards, I can do whatever. And that's what usually happens. That just ticks me off.
To talk just a little bit more, Night of Champions, which every championship is on the line, which it should be at every pay-per-view anyway. Hell in the Cell. So apparently there's a Hell in a Cell 1 year, you know, and it's for the 2 titles. So it's like Elimination Chamber. There's not going to be any big bumps because they don't do that anymore, you know. And then Bragging Rights, which I think is a really, really, really stupid pay-per-view, which happens 3 weeks after Hell in a Cell. So it's like, what's the point, you know?
That's ridiculous. I mean, to me, there's no point of Bragging Rights. I mean, all you do is you brag that you won. I mean, that doesn't do it for me. That just does not. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Although on a final note, TLC in December. I actually like that.
Oh, gosh, I can't wait for that. I wish they were all TLC matches, but they're going
to
be...
No, I prefer it to have a table match, to have a ladder match, to have a chair match, and have a TLC match. I think that's actually really cool.
I think
that's a cool idea.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but, that's enough for our ranting about pay-per-views for the WWE this week. But anyways, first off, I want to thank... you know, all of our fans for listening to the show. I mean, we appreciate the feedback that we've got just off our one show. We're on iTunes, of course, Off the Mark. Look for us there. Also, if you want to hear what Aaron's doing, you can find him on Twitter at AP Hughes. We also, and you can find myself also, AHughes86, on Twitter, of course. And if you want to hear anything that we're doing for the show or breaking news, we do post it on Off the Mark, or at Off the Mark 86. Because, you know, some douchebag took Off the Mark. Who would have thunk that? Aaron, you know, thanks for coming on the show and, you know, hosting it with me. I really appreciate it. Do you have any final words? Do you have any final words for our great audience?
No. I just, you know, keep checking back. We're going to continue doing the show on a weekly basis. And, you know, we hope to have the shows up every Thursday or Friday. So,
keep checking back. I want to give big props out to FTW News. They did retweet when we released our first episode. We did get more responses because of it. So I got to thank, you know, FTWnews.com, or you can find them on Twitter at FTW News as well. Great people. Thank you so much. Anyways, I want to say thanks to Section 86 for hosting the podcast and 86 Productions for editing it. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.